pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, as we open your word, talk to us and help us to listen. May the quietness of your presence surround each one of us. And we thank you for what you have written for us who live in these times. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When in doubt, pray. The world seems more complicated than ever. It just doesn't make sense. We have information at the tip of our fingertips. We go to the TV, to the computer, and all this information is there for us. But what do we do with it? What kind of direction do we take? Who do we ask? Who do we trust? Do we go to our teachers? Do we go to our parents? Do we go to our friends? And when we go to the Bible, sometimes what we find in it is just so different from what we see and hear out there that we ask questions. What's happening? And most likely, why is it happening to me? Why me? I like the Bible because it portrays people who had questions too. A man like Abram, a woman like Sarah, like David, Daniel, they all had questions and they were God's friends. Not because they did not trust God, but sometimes it was just so difficult to see his plan, his purpose. They couldn't see it. So they would ask, how is this going to happen? Or why is this happening? We've been studying the minor prophets, and I decided I'm going back to the minor prophets, to the book of Habakkuk. And if you have your Bibles, please open your Bibles to the book of Habakkuk. Because Habakkuk had many questions for God. Lots of questions for him. And he was also a friend of God. Amen? He was his friend. Who was Habakkuk? The first verse tells us. The oracle which Habakkuk the prophet saw. That's the only information we have about him. He was a prophet, and he saw something. Amen? He saw something. But before seeing, he had some complaints for God. Have you ever complained? Well, Habakkuk complains here in the following verse, and he says, how long, O Lord, will I call for help, and thou wilt not hear? Ever felt that way? I cry out to thee, violence. Look out there, there's violence. Yet thou dost not save. Why dost thou make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. Therefore, the law is ignored among your people, and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out perverted. Is it any different today? It's like he was painting our times, describing it. And to give you a little context. In 612 before Christ, the Assyrians, who were the power, the most powerful nation on the earth, the city of Nineveh was surrounded by the Babylonians, and they were utterly destroyed. A miracle. The enemy of the people of God, of Judah, had been destroyed in a matter of months. And you would think, Judah, God's people would say, amen. Let us follow God. Let us follow his commandments. Let us do his will. But was I mistaken? They were doing all the things that Habakkuk describes in those first three verses. They were doing the same things the Assyrians were doing. And God told Habakkuk, Habakkuk, I'm going to show you something. Something that will happen very soon. You see, in the year 605 BC, that same people, the Babylonians, this time surrounded Jerusalem. This time, they destroyed the walls of Jerusalem and took many captives, among them Daniel and his friends. 7 years later, that same thing happened to Jerusalem. But God, a merciful God, a loving God, wanted to warn his people. So he sent Habakkuk with an oracle. Literally, it says there, with a burden. Because these messages were not easy, were they? It was a burden. But once they had released the message, once they had told the message, they were free from that responsibility. And this is the way God answered Habakkuk. It doesn't tell us how long it took him to answer, but it does tell us in verse 5 what God answered Habakkuk. Look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder. Those are all things that God does, wonderful works. Because I am doing something in your days, Habakkuk. You would not believe it if you were told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, that fierce and impetuous people who march throughout the earth to seize dwelling places which are not theirs. They are dreaded and feared. Their justice and authority originate with themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards and keener than wolves in the evening. Their horsemen come galloping. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping down to devour. All of them come for violence. They horde of faces move forward. They collect captives like sand. They mock at kings, and rulers are a laughing matter to them. They laugh at every fortress and heap up rubble to capture it. Then they will sweep through like the wind and pass on, but they will be held guilty, they whose strength is their God. That's your solution, God? Was the question that Habakkuk brought up again. That's your solution? You're going to use the Babylonians to bring justice to your people? How? Why? Verse 12. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We will not die. Thou, O Lord, has appointed them, the Babylonians, to judge. And thou, O rock, hast established them to correct? Thine eyes are too pure to approve evil, and thou canst not look on wickedness with favor. Why dost thou look with favor on those Babylonians who deal treacherously? Why art thou silent when the wicked swallowed up the more righteous than they? God, why are you using them? They're worse than us. Why hast thou made men like the fish of the sea, like creeping things without a ruler over them? The Chaldeans bring all of them up with a hook, drag them away with their net, and gather them together in their fishing net. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they offer even a sacrifice to their net and burn incense to their fishing net, because through these things their catch is large and their food is plentiful. Will they therefore empty their net and continually slay nations without sparing? The Babylonians did something different from the Assyrians. The Assyrians would come, destroy a city, take captives, and send mom to the north, dad to the south, kids to the west. And they would try to destroy a whole nation, a whole people that way. The Babylonians said, no, we're going to do it differently. We are going to capture a city, but we're going to bring the choicest to our city, to the capital. And they will learn our language. They will learn our forms. They will be our representatives when they go back to their country. And they will talk about the great things they have seen in Babylon. They wanted to unite the world. That was their strategy. Bring people together. Chapter 2, verse 1, tells us what Habakkuk had to do. He asked, but he said, I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart. And I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. You see, Habakkuk was not just going to complain. He was not just going to ask God why, how, but Habakkuk wanted to hear God's response. And sometimes God takes his time to answer, doesn't he? It seems like for Habakkuk, it was like standing on guard post. I've never stood as a guard. They tell me it takes a lot of time. The closest maybe I've had to deal with that is going to the airport, having to pick somebody up, and it seems like they're the last person to get off that plane. It's like, oh, you're waiting and you're looking at that escalator coming down, and oh, and you're looking, and it just takes forever. You're waiting and waiting and waiting. And the other time maybe was when I asked my wife, after 7 months of dating, the question, will you marry me? And she said, yes! No. She looked at me surprised, and she said, can I think about it? And I said, yes, you can think about it. It's an important decision, important question. You have until tomorrow, 6 p.m. I'll be at your place. Those 24 hours were like 24 days. Seemed it took forever. But you know the answer. It does. When we ask God, sometimes it feels like it takes forever. But Habakkuk teaches us something that also Jesus mentions. He says, wait and watch. He was waiting and watching. He was awake. He wanted to be ready. When God would speak, he wanted to be ready to listen. Because he really was looking for an answer. And you know, God always answers. Always. Verse 2 tells us, then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run, says my version. A professor of mine said, so that the one who is running fast, even he can read it. That clear, Habakkuk, I want it to be, so that everybody knows. Verse 3, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it will certainly come. It will not delay. What God has said, he will fulfill. Amen? Even though it seems like it's taking a long time, he will fulfill his promise. Talks about, in his answer about the Babylonians, behold, as for the proud one, yes, them, his soul is not right within him. I'm going to skip a little sentence there, come back to it. Furthermore, verse 5, wine betrays the haughty man, so he does not stay at home. He enlarges his appetite like Sheol, and he is like death, never satisfied. He also gathers to himself all nations and collects to himself all peoples. Will not all of these take up a taunt sung against him, even mockery and insinuations against him, and say, five woes are said to this nation. Woe to him who increases what is not his. For how long? And makes himself rich with loans. Will not your creditors rise up suddenly, and those who collect from you awaken? Indeed, you will become plunder for them, because you have looted many nations. All the remainder of the peoples will loot you because of human bloodshed and violence done to the land, to the town, and all its inhabitants. Verse 9 again, woe to him who gets evil gain for his house, to put his nest on high, to be delivered from the land of calamity. You have devised a shameful thing for your house by cutting off many peoples. So you are sinning against yourself. Surely the stone will cry out from the wall, and the rafter will answer it from the framework. Verse 12, woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and founds a town with violence. Is it not indeed from the Lord of hosts, that people toil for fire and nations grow weary for nothing? I skip verse 14 and go to 15. Woe to you who make your neighbors drink, who mix in your venom, even to make them drunk, so as to look on their nakedness. You will be filled with disgrace rather than honor. Now you yourself drink and expose your nakedness. The cup in the Lord's right hand will come around to you, and utter disgrace will come upon your glory. For the violence done to Lebanon will overwhelm you, and the devastation of its beasts by which you terrified them, because of human bloodshed and violence done to the land, to the town, and all its inhabitants. What profit is the idol when its maker has carved it, or an image a teacher of falsehood? For its maker trusts in his own handiwork when he fashions speechless idols. Woe to him who says to a piece of wood, awake, to a dumb stone, arise, and that is your teacher? Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all inside it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Habakkuk understood something that day. The Lord is in his holy temple. He's speaking to his people. But many times, we're just too busy to even listen. There's too much noise. How many of you guys have tried to pray and you have a list of things to do? And you ask yourself, why doesn't he answer? Or you still have that tune you heard at the store, going through your mind. Sometimes we can't listen because we're not quiet enough. And Habakkuk says, hush. Hush. Can you listen to God speaking? He is in his temple. One of the things that God told him, we find in chapter 2, also verse 4, the last part. But the righteous will live by faith. And in fact, it's a little different from the version in the New Testament. But the righteous will live by his faithfulness. Amen? God is faithful. He will answer. He will do what he has promised. And verse 14, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, and as the waters cover the sea. As if saying, what else do you want? God has revealed himself to you. What else could you desire? Where else would you want to go? His glory has filled the earth. His knowledge has reached the farthest ends of this earth. And so Habakkuk shares with us his prayer and his experience of being silent before this awesome God. Verse 2 says, Lord, I have heard the report about you and I fear. Wow. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of this generation. Make it known. Amen? In wrath, God, remember mercy, compassion. And this is what he saw. God comes from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covers the heavens, and the earth is full of his praise. His radiance is like the sunlight. He has rays flashing from his hand, and there is the hiding of his power. Before him goes pestilence, and plagues come after him. He stood and surveyed the earth. He looked and startled the nations. Yes, the perpetual mountains were shattered. The ancient hills collapsed. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan under distress. The tent curtains of the land of Midian were trembling. Did the Lord rage against the rivers? Or was thine anger against the rivers? Or was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride on thy horses, on thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made bare. The rods of chastisement were sworn. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountain saw thee and quaked. The downpour of water swept by. The deep uttered forth its voice. It lifted high its hands. Sun and moon stood in their places. They went away at the light of thine arrows, at the radiance of thy gleaming spear. In indignation, thou didst march through the earth. In anger, thou didst trample the nations. Thou didst go forth for the salvation of thy people, for the salvation of thy anointed one, the Messiah. Thou didst strike the head of the house of the evil one, to lay him open from thigh to neck. Thou dost pierce with his own spears the heads of his throngs. They stormed in to scatter us. Their exultation was like those who devour the oppressed in secret. Thou didst tread on the sea with thy horses on the surge of many waters. Habakkuk received a vision of this awesome, loving King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who he said, it's not the Babylonians who are going to save you. It's me. Amen. I'm coming with all my angels, with all my host. I am coming to put an end to those who do evil, to put an end to sin. I am coming. Did he come, brothers and sisters? He came the first time. As a humble man, he came. Verse 16 tells us, I heard and my inward parts trembled. At the sound, my lips quivered. Decay enters my bones, and in my place I tremble, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us. And you might think Habakkuk was going, wow, the Babylonians are coming. They will take over the city. I myself might even go captive to Babylon. Is that it? Is it over? Was it worth trusting God? Was it worth it? All this that I did, was it all worth it? When in doubt, pray. When in doubt, pray. And this is the answer that I hope you and I also have this morning. An answer that Habakkuk gave. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exalt the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. And he has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on my high places. Amen. Amen. Do we want to listen to God, brothers and sisters? Even though it looks like everything out there is coming apart, it's coming all down, nothing will be left. Do we want to put our trust in God? I hope so. I want to do what Habakkuk did. I want to listen. I want to exalt the Lord. I want to rejoice in the God of my salvation. Amen.